You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily fantasy football podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iyer. When I'm not doing this, I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football for SportingNews.com. Welcome in to Week 7. If you're new to the podcast, we've upgraded Experts Edition recently, so we go through our progressions, so to speak, every week. We have Tom Kesnick there of High Stakes Fantasy with our takeaways closing out Week 6, so then we turn our attention to the waiver wire, weekly waiver wire with Eric at Home of Pro Football Weekly on Tuesdays, and now we're up to the Wednesday part, the fun part to look ahead already to Week 7 and break down all the matchups there. And we'll have later our guest, Jeff Ratcliffe of Pro Football Focus, our regular Wednesday guest here for Matchup Focused, to break down the four big games for us here, the Patriots, Bears, Browns, Buccaneers, Saints, Ravens, and Rams 49ers. So we'll go a little deeper there, short-term and long-term on those games. We have a lot to get to. We'll break down the rest of the games before and after Jeff's hit here. That's how we do it here. We look in-depth on both sides, seeing what you want to play, what matchups you want to exploit, and which ones you also want to avoid for the most part if you can. It's hard with the massive bye week this week, so keep that in mind when you're setting your lineups. So again, that reminder, it's the Steelers, it's the Raiders, it's the Seahawks, and the Packers. So some good fantasy players there over all around, especially on the Packers and Steelers that you're trying to replace during this tricky bye week, that's for sure. So let's dive right in, and you might play more people than you usually wouldn't this week. So looking at the Broncos and Cardinals Thursday night game, it's not the marquee Thursday night game by far. It's a free-falling Broncos team, a Cardinals team that's not very good. I kind of like the Cardinals in this one. It'll be close. It's a two-point spread in favor of the Broncos. Pretty low-scoring game expected, but I think part of that is going to be the running success both of these teams have in this one, because these are the two worst fantasy defenses technically when it comes to rushing attacks. And you look at the Broncos, it's really hard to trust Royce Freeman now with Phillip Lindsay. Just they can't quit Phillip Lindsay there in terms of giving him key touches. But this is, to me, is more like a Royce Freeman game. It's not going to get out of hand. The game flow is going to be pretty close here throughout. So opportunity here for Freeman to kind of flex his muscles. We've seen when he gets the opportunity against weak run defense, he can really come through here. So I like him and Lindsay in this one because I think they'll control the ball. They've been putting it too much into Case Keenum's hands, and the mistakes have happened. They've got a big few plays in the pass game, but it's silly to attack the Cardinals secondary pass rush, Chandler Jones and Patrick Peterson there. So I expect the Broncos will stay grounded, trying to keep it simple, try to get a win, and that's going to favor the running backs in this one. Emmanuel Sanders is out there every week because he can move around the slot, and he's a special. But with Cortland Sutton and Demaryius Thomas, you're fading them for sure. On the Cardinal side of things, you got to be excited about David Johnson. There's a defense there that's allowed back-to-back 200-yard rushers, Isaiah Crowell and Todd Gurley. So it wasn't just Gurley, it was Crowell as well. And we know David Johnson's pretty talented as well. So I see a lot of running in this game for the Cardinals. Christian Kirk has a chance here. They're not playing very well outside. Larry Fitzgerald might get Chris Harris Jr. here in the slot quite a bit. So I would still not feel good about Larry Fitzgerald. But Christian Kirk is not a bad reach play here for a wide receiver three if we're looking for it. But David Johnson, firmly a strong RB1 this week. And I think Freeman and Lindsay are going to return RB2 value for you. Our next game is the London game. This is an actually early game on Sunday, so don't forget if you're going to play anyone in this game, but you're probably pretty much locked into your Chargers of note here. That would be Phillip Rivers, Melvin Gordon, Keenan Allen. They're hosting, quote, the Titans all the way out in London, not in L.A. And Rivers, just too consistent to bench at this point. He's solid. he's not going to have that maybe explosiveness in terms of the ceiling, but he's going to be solid every week. Good cash game play there. And Melvin Gordon, he's a stud. He's in your lineup locked in. And even this tough matchup, we saw Alex Collins score a couple times against the Titans, break through there for touchdown. So I really like Gordon, obviously, in this one. And with Keenan Allen, let's hope he can get going a little bit. They've had Mike Williams get going with the touchdowns. We've had Tyrell Williams. This seems like a good opportunity for Keenan Allen because they can move him around a little bit, maybe get him on that matchup against Malcolm Butler, who's really, really struggling. Gave up that touchdown to Michael Crabtree pretty easily last week. So a good chance for Mike Williams to maybe rebound. He's been quiet here, but I can't reach for him with Tyrell now being involved in this offense. So I think you stay with your main principles. I wouldn't stretch to Austin Eckler in this one. The Titans are pretty decent against the run. They've got a pretty good front seven. Linebacker Wesley Woodard is going to probably come back. So stick with your principles there for the Chargers. And the Chargers defense, you have to look at them for sure. Even without Joey Bosa, turned in a strong performance against the Browns last week, and the Titans couldn't score a point. It's a bit of a trap here because the Titans could get a little bit more done in the running and passing game this week, so that's not a total wash. But the Titans, what do you say? It's really hard to trust anyone at this point. If you're going to reach hard, I would go for Deion Lewis. The Chargers do give up a lot of receiving yards to running backs. They did that to Duke Johnson Jr. last week. So if you're going to reach a little bit and you're desperate and you have a bye week or flex, Deion Lewis is not terrible this week. I know he did not look good, but I think it's more of a product of a lot of things failing the offense, like the offensive line, maybe forcing Derrick Henry in there too much. So we'll see. But Lewis has to become a bigger factor. He's too talented not to, so don't cut bait on him yet. Stick with him, and we'll see if better things can happen. Our next game that we'll look at is the Bills and Colts as we switch to the 1 p.m. games on Sunday here in Week 7. Colts are 7.5-point favorites at home. We're going to still determining who's going to start a quarterback, but looking at Nathan Peterman being benched for Derek Anderson here with Josh Allen not going to play with that elbow injury. So Derek Anderson, you might be tempted to look at Kelvin Benjamin or Zay Jones, but no, I think you still have to go away. Maybe Charles Clay could be a factor a little bit more, but this Colts defense is not as bad as you think, especially in the secondary. So I don't really can say that this is a good time to just trust anyone in the Bills offense because they suddenly put in Anderson there. So LeSean McCoy, I kind of like. He's still the bread and butter of this offense. Really the only thing going on for this offense. He can get things done with good combined yardage again as a wide receiver or running back two slash flex play in a lot of leagues this week and standard. Like him a little bit more in PPR, but I think he's going to be viable for you this week. With the Colts, you look on their side. Marlon Mack, if you're a little stuck there at running back, he did look good last week if you were able to pick him up. If you need that flex play again, deep league running back and bye weeks, you've got maybe James Conner not in action for you. If you're trusting Aaron Jones or one of the Seahawks backs, he's a guy that you could maybe plug in this week here and not feel terrible about it. There are a lot worse options you can go than a starting running back on early downs for a team that scores a lot of points. So keep that in mind with the Colts. It doesn't look good for T.Y. Hilton or Jack Doyle returning this week. So more time to fire up Eric Ebron with no doubts here if you need to. So he's just locked in if he's your best tight end option. A lot of people have him behind another top tight end. So in that sense, it's tricky. So if you have a tight end with slightly more talent and better matchup here, it's okay to go away from Ebron because the Bills are pretty good against the tight end overall. They proved that this season. So it's a lower scoring game as well. So we don't expect it to go off like the Colts-Jets game and everyone kind of get involved there. Now, looking at Andrew Luck, I would maybe fade him as well. The Bills defense, again, with Tre'Davious White, and Jordan Poyer and some of the guys that they have making plays. I'm just going to fade a lot of the Colts passing game. I really like kind of Mac. There's a little bit of contrarian play there to go with on the Colts this particular week because I think they win the game and Mac is going to be a factor. The next game we'll talk about is the Panthers and Eagles, and this one is a bit of interest to us, of course, in fantasy, because we have two very good quarterbacks here that are becoming regular starts again in fantasy, Cam Newton and Carson Wentz. So yeah, Carson Wentz is a regular starter now. He's back fully there. I really like Alshon Jeffrey and Zach Ertz to keep it up. I think Jeffrey and Ertz are both every week plays as well. Corey Clement, this Panthers team has really struggled against the run on the road. So I really like Clement. Smallwood, I think, is going to be faded a little bit more now that Clement has had that mini bye to rest his ankle. I'm going to have a good performance against the Giants. So Smallwood's still going to have some value. He's going to knock it away in this committee, assuming Darren Sproles is still hurting with that hamstring and can't play. But Clement is the more way that I feel better about and going in this one. With the Panthers, there's some opportunities here. I think like Devin Funchess against the secondary. I think Greg Olsen, the presence of Greg Olsen actually helps Devin Funchess because it draws some attention there. They're similar receivers. So Devin Funchess is definitely in there for you. Christian McCaffrey's locked in. And then you look at, for a deep shot, I look at DJ Moore. They're really excited about this rookie. He did lose a fumble, but he's just a big playmaker. Lightning in a bottle. This is a secondary that you can exploit with speed. If they can get him isolated on Jalen Mills or there with Ronald Darby, I think there's a big play. So DJ Moore is kind of a sneaky little throw in the lineup play, especially in a tournament, because he's one of those guys that can go off there and have a big game. So definitely a player that has some intrigue for fantasy this week. We move on to our next game. It's the Lions and Dolphins. We're still waiting to see if Brock Osweiler is going to start there. I'm not going to say Albert Wilson, put him in there. He seems to have a big game, monster game, and then disappears totally from this offense. And the Lions secondary is pretty darn good. The run defense is vulnerable. If you have to go with Kenny and Drake or Frank Gore, I still like Drake over Gore. Gore really wore down after that 100-yard game that he was able to somehow knock out against the Bears out of nowhere. I know he's getting the volume over Drake, but I don't see this as a situation where the Dolphins are going to be in control of this game. I think the Lions are going to come out and play well after the bye. I really like most of the Lions' assets here, except for Marvin Jones Jr. I like Kenny Golladay. He's pretty much a wide receiver 3 a week. Golden Tate's a wide receiver 2. Look at Kerryon Johnson. They're going to give him more touches. I know they've said it's the LeGarrette Blount committee, but coming out of the bye, they're going to feel better about the rookie. His running style really can wear down the Dolphins here because he's got that burst as well as that power. So I really like Kerryon Johnson more than anything on the side. If I'm going DFS, I'm not going for Drake or Gore. I'm going for Johnson for sure in this week. I think he can be very productive and a high-end RB2 flex play this week for you, because I think he's going to get his opportunities, and the Dolphins linebacker core again can really struggle to tackle him. I don't like Jones because this is a team that typically does better on the outside against the number two receiver there. They've really struggled surprisingly with number ones with Xavier and Howard there. So to me, Kenny Golladay is more that guy, the shot play of the outside. And Golden Tate could get some of Minka Fitzpatrick, but he's Golden Tate. He's scrappy. He's going to fight and produce here. So I think with the running game and those two receivers, it's going to be good. I don't love Matthew Stafford this week. It's just on the road. I mean, I do like the receivers individually, but again, I think the Johnson potential of scoring some touchdowns here is going to hurt his upside here, and it could be a bit of an ugly game as well. So if you got better alternatives, I would go away from Stafford overall, because I don't think you can expect a big, big game from Stafford and kind of chase the Mitchell Trubisky box score last week. Now, ever since I started doing this podcast, people have been asking me, who do I like in a particular week? I'm breaking down all these games, the spreads, the over-unders to help us look at fantasy football. Well, I got to tell you this. So you got to go to the right place to make your bets as well as making the right bets. And that's why I have to recommend MyBookie. MyBookie, you can check it out. They have great reviews online as one of the best wagering sites in the business. And you're going to find player perks like none other once you get involved and be a regular player on MyBookie. And best of all, as plenty of new bettors are coming to the site there at MyBookie, they're offering a special deal. If you can hold out and make your deposit initially there after 7 p.m. They're giving you a $25 bonus by using the promo code LOCKEDON25. That's on top of the dollar-for-dollar match they will do there, up to $1,000 for all first-time bettors there at MyBookie. So you get that deposit match bonus as well as that extra $25 to get into the game and make your bets. And you just have such an easy time with that site. They have live in-game betting for you. You can bet on fantasy points, the over-under in a particular week. And the best thing is you can also do this mobily pretty easily with their Fine app as well. So easy to use, easy place to go and win some big money. And once you play and you win, they're going to pay you out pretty quickly. That's the best thing about MyBookie. Once you're in the action and you're starting winning, it's a great experience, and they're going to make it a lot easier for you where you get your money and your winnings right away, and they'll give you a little extra money as well. Now use that promo code LOCKEDON25, deposit after 7 p.m. and take advantage of the special offer as you get into MyBookie. MyBookie, you play, you win, you get paid. And thanks again to MyBookie for sponsoring the podcast. When we get back here, we'll have Jeff Ratcliffe of Pro Football Focus helping us look at the four most intriguing matchups of the week. Joining me now, as he always does here for Matchup Focused on Wednesdays, here to look at the most intriguing matchups of week seven is Jeff Ratcliffe of Pro Football Focus. How's it going, Jeff?
Very good. We've reached the halfway point, essentially, of the fantasy regular season. It's weird because it's an odd amount of weeks for most people, 13 weeks, but basically that means we're there. So this is pretty interesting. The first half of the season went pretty fast, and it's starting to get really fascinating with some of these really high-scoring games, including that Packers 49ers game. Who would have thought it worked out that way? But it's been really a fun ride for fantasy purposes.
Yeah, we need scoring. We're fine with the scoring. It can go up as much as possible. We'll talk about those 49ers in a little bit with their matchup this week, but let's start with the Patriots and Bears. And you look at the Chiefs offense, Bears are kind of the Chiefs light with the way they've constructed their offense. I see this as going back and forth, and it seems like it's a good spot again for Tyreek Cohen and Taylor Gabriel, especially for the Bears with their speed against the Patriots.
Yeah, it absolutely is. I think the game script will certainly favor Cohen in this one. Remember, if you own Tyreek Cohen, if you are in a game script where the Bears get out to a big lead, probably not going to get that much of Cohen. I mean, a lot of what he did last week was not through on the ground. It was through the air. He only had the five carries. Now, granted, he rushed for a touchdown, but you can't bank on that every week. So this one favors it, though. And of course, we saw Kareem Hunt get a lot done as a receiver last week against this Patriots team. And you mentioned it, Taylor Gabriel. I mean, credit where credit's due. We really kind of always viewed him as just a number three type, a field stretcher, but not somebody who could be an every down player. Well, he's doing that this year. He is an every down player, playing good football. And I expect, obviously, Allen Robinson to get a lot of attention, probably a shadow from Stephon Gilmore, which could open things up for Taylor Gabriel.
Now, the Patriots side of things, we saw a lot of things open up in the passing game, but still not as much as we'd like spread around to Josh Gordon. Now, you look at Josh Gordon this particular week, he did play most of the snaps there. You didn't really see Philip Dorsett or Cordarrelle Patterson working there. Do you kind of think that Chris Hogan is back to being a sneaky play with the attention on Gordon and Gronkowski?
Not necessarily. I think this is a lot of Gordon because, I mean, you look at a lot of folks looked at the snaps. I'm not really concerned with the snaps because I don't really give a darn about running plays when it comes to the wide receivers. I care about the plays where Tom Brady actually drops back to pass. Gordon was out there for all but two of those plays, which is the exact same number as Julian Edelman this week. So 95% of the passing plays, Gordon was on the field. The volume is going to continue. The big plays are going to start to come. Gordon is literally about to explode for fantasy purposes.
Well, that's good to hear because people have been waiting for that, wanting to know when the Gordon will show up. I think you've seen that, I think, have a slow build week after week. Now, James White, with all these other weapons, do you think it's going to cut into him a little bit at some point? Because Sonny Michel is running the ball so well, and that James White maybe is going to cool off here pretty rapidly.
Well, it's another game script thing. He's a passing down back. He's not a between the tackles runner like Sonny Michel. So in games where they need to use him in shootouts like last week, and I do expect some shootouts because that Patriots defense hasn't done a great job against the pass for a good chunk of the season, they're going to use him. But in games, if they get out to a lead, and you know we've seen that with the Patriots in the past, they'll slow the game, or they'll essentially, you know, slow the game down from the standpoint of not throwing the ball and lean on the run game. So I think it's going to be streaky. But if you have James White, you have an RB2 plus on your hands any given week.
Looking at our next game, this has a lot of intrigue with the bye weeks, especially a lot of key players and teams out this week. But look at the Browns and Bucks. Now, Baker Mayfield, we've been waiting. Now comes this beautiful stretch of a month of just beautiful matchups over and over again. It didn't look pretty against the Chargers, but I look at the Bucks defense. They did fire Mike Smith this week, but I look at Jarvis Landry and David Njoku looking at like the perfect guys to attack this Bucks defense.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. You can go after MJ Stewart. It's almost staggering to think basically every target that's been thrown at MJ Stewart has been caught. He's given up 5 touchdowns on the season. And that's going to be Jarvis Landry's matchup for a good chunk of this game. Also, Baker, you mentioned it was a disappointing game, but he did take 4 shots to the end zone, didn't convert those shots other than the Njoku touchdown. But I love to see quarterbacks throwing to the end zone. Now, the wide receivers are beat up, so that means, yes, lots of volume for Landry. And Njoku, we heard he was going to get an increased role. He did get an increased role, and that's going to continue going forward.
Now, on the other side of things, the Bucks, we wanted to see how maybe the targets might change here with Jameis Winston, who he might favor. The Cameron Brate storyline is out there. He caught a touchdown, but it was basically his only play of the game. O.J. Howard played, surprisingly, with the knee and played very well. Now, you look at this, O.J. Howard and Chris Godwin, they talked these guys up before the season, and DeSean Jackson and Mike Evans were a bit quiet. Now, do you see at some point Evans and Jackson delivering like they did with Fitzpatrick, or is this Winston savvier to spread the ball around a little bit more?
I think we do with Evans. I'm not sure. Jackson's boom or bust. I mean, that's what he's always been. So I do think we see that with Evans, though, going forward. He's going to have some big games. We know that Jameis has really leaned on him heavily in the past. And I do keep having this word of warning about Chris Godwin. He's actually the number 4 receiver. It doesn't show up in the box score. You know, with he led the team in targets this past week, but he didn't run as many routes as Adam Humphries. He didn't run as many routes as DeSean Jackson. He certainly didn't run as many routes as Mike Evans. That means it could be a roller coaster ride. We saw that in the previous game from Godwin. You know, there's going to be ups and downs, but the fact of the matter is, if he's not running as many routes as those guys, the downs could be pretty bad if you rely on him as a wide receiver 3.
Now, we look at Peyton Barber. We had to be somewhat impressed. We thought they might turn to Ronald Jones, but Barber probably is going to keep the job for a while with his performance against the Falcons. And the Browns just have looked really bad against the run of late as well.
Yeah, well, Melvin Gordon certainly did that to them last week. And this is a defense that's surprising. They were good against the run last year. It was one of the better parts of the Browns in largely a season that you would want to forget as a Browns fan. At least you had that. Well, now, I mean, the bright spot for me on the Browns defense so far has been rookie Denzel Ward. He's playing out of his mind, but he's not doing anything against the run. That's coverage, right? So, yeah, you look at Peyton Barber as a sneaky play. Now, a lot of people say, okay, well, then maybe I should drop Ronald Jones. I don't think we're there yet. In fact, I like the idea of stashing those high upside deep guys because, you know, you're trying to catch lightning in a bottle. You're not going to do it most times, but when you do it, that is typically the fast track to a fantasy championship. So keeping guys like Jones on your bench is a good thing.
Well, we'll turn over to the Saints and Ravens game and a pretty potential high-scoring affair here. I'm interested about the Ravens wide receivers. We saw John Brown do his thing early in the season. Michael Crabtree came on in this Titans matchup last week. How do you kind of like the cornerback matchups this week for the Ravens and Saints, and do you think it's a good chance for John Brown because of the Saints' inability with those deep shot plays?
I do. It's tricky with those wide receivers, though, because you look on the season, John Brown, 42 targets. Willie Snead, 40 targets. I mean, so they're spreading the ball around a little bit there. You have to be encouraged as well. If they are taking those deep shots and they are getting the ball down the field, you have to be encouraged with what we saw out of Alex Collins last week. bounces back after a frustrating start for fantasy purposes with those two touchdowns. So, you know, I think we have to continue to view those wide receivers as we viewed them all along. John Brown sort of close to a wide receiver two. Michael Crabtree, a low ceiling wide receiver three. Willie Snead, more of a wide receiver four, but a guy who, you know, can see some decent volume. And let's not forget Willie Snead revenge game.
Yeah, we'll see how that works out. But he does have a decent matchup there. We'll see. When you look at the on the Saints side of things, do you think they've kind of settled that we've got that Breeze record out of the way? This seems like a perfect game to kind of grind it out with the running game a little bit more with Alvin Kamara and Mark Ingram. Do you like Breeze as much going forward if their defense and running game starts to produce?
Well, if it does, and I think it will, you have to maybe downgrade expectations slightly for him. But I still like Breeze. I think he's fine. We just have to, I mean, address the elephant in the room here. This Ravens defense is very good. Very, very, very good. Yes, they were made to look a little bit better against Tennessee, but any team that puts up double-digit sacks in a game, they do that. It's not a fluke. It's not a fluke that they did this. They have really good corners, so they can shut you down, put the clamps on in coverage, and they can get after you in the pass rush, and they do a good job against the run. So this is a tough task here, certainly for the Saints offense, and we don't know exactly how they're going to distribute the ball. I don't expect to see what we saw last time in terms of Kamara not touching the ball a ton. But then again, you would figure game script would almost figure to favor Mark Ingram. So you have to be a little wary if you're a Kamara owner. However, I think he's ultimately going to be just fine going forward.
And one guy that we're wondering about is Tre'Quan Smith. Do you think he's going to be more involved after his big game, or do you think it's going to be more still Ted Ginn and Cameron Meredith cutting into the work?
Well, Cameron Meredith's the slot. We're not going to see Tre'Quan in the slot, but Ted Ginn is the starter still. So as long as Ted Ginn is healthy, then he's going to be out there ahead of Tre'Quan. Ultimately, though, it's a cream rising thing. I think by the time we get towards the end of the season, we're going to see more and more and more of Tre'Quan, because eventually they're not going to be able to keep him off the field. But if you're expecting immediate production, I don't think you're going to get it. Just like I said with Ronald Jones, hold on to these upside guys. I mean, I was really surprised that we get through the bye week and Tre'Quan's out there in like 96% of leagues, which it's unfathomable to me, but a lot of people didn't pick him up, I guess because of the bye, I don't know, but that's a scratch off lottery ticket that I definitely want on my fantasy bench right now.
No, the last game we'll talk about here is the Rams and 49ers. And you talked about the 49ers and Packers game. CJ Beathard has been just incredible here as a fill-in for fantasy, almost a, doing what maybe you would expect from Jimmy Garoppolo had he been in there. So it's crazy to see that. But when you look at C.J. Beathard, it's got to be encouraging that he's got Marquise Goodwin going at the right time against the Rams defense, is all of a sudden giving some big plays up in the passing game.
Yeah, I mean, we entered this season thinking the Rams were going to be the top secondary in the league, and then you lose a kid to Lieb early. Marcus Peters gets banged up and then has proceeded to play through the injury, which maybe it would have been better if he just sat, because he's been a complete liability. You know, I put a tweet out about that last week and it really caught fire. And a lot of people were saying, well, hey, he's playing hurt. And it's like, okay, but that's no excuse, right? If you're playing hurt, maybe sit out and then your team can play a little bit better because you're getting absolutely roasted. So Beathard, though, I'm surprised I pulled this stat out this morning. Since taking over as the starter, so it's 3 weeks, he's the number nine fantasy quarterback. That's unreal to think of when we initially thought, okay, this guy's a bottom five. You can't even use him. I think in 12-team leagues, as you go through the bye, you might end up having to use somebody like C.J. Beathard. Marquise Goodwin getting back on the field with his speed was obviously good, and Beathard throws a pretty nice ball, so credit where credit's due. We also saw him scramble a couple times, so he adds a little bit of extra value with his legs. It's pretty crazy. But you got to give that credit to that 49ers offense and defense especially as well. I mean, granted, Aaron Rodgers beat them, but can you really blame them? They were in that and winning for a good chunk of that game. It's pretty impressive, and this is going to be an interesting game to see them against the Rams.
Now, there was some drama with the 49ers backfield for owners of Alfred Morris, especially on Monday night. They thought Matt Breida was not going to play. He looked doubtful for most of the week. All of a sudden, game time decision, he's fired up, and then you think he might be banged up and Morris might get work? And no, it's Raheem Mostert. Now, is Mostert a guy that's going to just stick around? Do you think they kind of made that switch because he's a little bit more of an explosive runner?
It could be. Mostert is really interesting. He's the preseason all-star. Anybody out there, degenerates like me, play preseason DFS, know him pretty well. He's dominated there, but of course against like third string defenses. And he's gotten the opportunity a few times, but never really seized it. But I like this. It's like instead of a lightning and thunder thing, it's a lightning and lightning thing with those two backs. And that's the way you can best utilize Breda, by the way. You don't want Breda to have 20 plus carries at his size. You want him to be in that 10 to 15 range. Every time he gets the ball, you know, he's upside waiting to happen. And then Mostert offers almost the same skill set. It's intriguing. I think if you're in deeper leagues where running backs on the waiver wire are completely picked over, you could add him and you could probably do a lot worse.
Now, looking at the Rams side of things, we know Todd Gurley's Todd Gurley, so we don't need to talk about him. Just set it and forget it and enjoy it with him. But looking at these wide receivers, Brandon Cooks, Robert Woods, and we'll see if Cooper Kupp can come back and play with a knee injury. They kind of shut him down early with the game in control in Denver. But when you look at these matchups here, Richard Sherman, we saw that when he was on Davante Adams a little bit, the Packers didn't go there, but as soon as Adams was on somebody else, they attacked him, whether it's a Akila Witherspoon or Jimmy Ward or someone like that. Now, who do you expect to get the best matchup of these three Rams wide receivers this week?
Well, it's a shame because I would say Cooper Kupp, but, you know, because I really want to go after that slot matchup. That's really appealing. But, I mean, this week, I the way that they move their receivers around, I don't think we could just say it's one or the other. I think we're going to see plenty of Woods. We're going to see plenty of Cooks. And we're also probably going to see our share of Josh Reynolds. I mean, Josh Reynolds is a kid who coming out of Texas A&M, Mike Evans said, hey, this kid's a better route runner than I was entering the NFL. You know, similar from a body type standpoint, you know, a bigger bodied guy. He can get on the field. And, you know, if you're looking at DFS this week, if in fact Kupp doesn't go like we expect, Reynolds is interesting. Reynolds is an appealing guy. And I expect a bounce back, by the way, for Jared Goff this week.
Now, when you look at Todd Gurley, and we want to talk just a tad of DFS, we'll do more with Tyler Lochner, also Pro Football Focus tomorrow. But when you look at Todd Gurley, I constructed a lineup around him. I paid up for him. I was very pleased with the results. Is he a guy that you have to think about even at the high price to say we want to get him in and then focus on getting other guys, because he seems to be a 3X guy almost all the time?
He does. And the thing about it that's so at least friendly this week is I'm only just starting to look at DFS for the week, but the wide receiver value is there. You know, you can definitely get some cheaper wide receivers in who can reach value very likely for you so that you can afford to pay up for Gurley. The usage for Gurley is really just off the charts. 37 carries inside the red zone this season. Second in that is Alvin Kamara and Sony Michel with 21. So Gurley's almost doubling those guys up. It's unreal. And of course, if you're touching the ball closer to the end zone, you're more likely to score touchdowns. And this isn't a fluke. He did the same thing last year. So yeah, you pay up for him. Now it's a cash game play for sure. You know, of course you can have some exposure to him in tournament, but it might be wiser to fade him if anything, but a cash game play with a super high floor.
All right, Jeff, great advice as always, helping us break down those games. What do you have going on beyond Pro Football Focus, and where can people listen and watch you this week?
Sure, of course. Sirius XM Fantasy Sports Radio. That's Sirius 210 XM 87, Monday through Friday, 10 to 11 Eastern, in the morning, that is, not at night. We also have the Pro Football Focus Fantasy Podcast featuring yours truly and CBS Sports Network on Sunday morning on your TV. Check that out from 8 to noon Eastern, that other pregame show.
Busy guy. We're lucky to have his insight every week, and we'll talk to you next week, Jeff.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it.
Thanks again to Jeff Ratcliffe there. So much good insight there. And again, check him out on Sirius XM, Fantasy Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, and of course at Pro Football Focus. And tomorrow, reminder, we'll have Tyler Lochner of Pro Football Focus for our DFS-centric look at the week to close out the week. So check out that show as well. We'll look at the player values and how you can win big money there. Now, When you're playing fantasy football, it's exciting when you see your favorite players in your lineup go off and make big plays and score. But it's just as exciting and more exciting to be there in person when this all happens. With your local favorite team, the only way that you want to get your tickets and find the best seats in the house is with Vivid Seats. Vivid Seats is going to take care of you really well there and give you a great, great opportunity to get to the game with the best seats in the house. It doesn't have to be an NFL game. It could be any sporting event. It could be a musical. It could be a play, concert, anything you like. Vivid Seats is going to take care of you. So it's a fantastic ticket marketplace where they're going to give you the experience of a lifetime with the least hassle and the most confidence that you're getting the best ticket. And now with the promo code Locked On for listeners of Locked On Fantasy Football, you can receive $20 off orders of $100, $200 or more as a first-time customer of Vivid Seats. So $200 or more, you'll get $20 off there. That's pretty good. So you're going to have an experience that you won't forget. Look at the best possible seats and easy purchasing there and save some money too. So all you have to do is go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Enter the promo code Locked On. Receive $20 off orders of $200 or more as a new customer of Vivid Seats. And all Vivid Seats confirmed orders are backed by 100% guarantee. So Vivid Seats, download the app or go to the site today and get your tickets and get to those games. When we get back, we'll talk about the rest of the games on the Week 7 NFL schedule. Now, looking at the rest of the games here, we have a big, big one as well that we have to talk about that has moved there to Sunday night. We'll get to that in a little bit, but we have to talk about the Vikings and Jets first as we have to wrap up the 1 p.m. and afternoon games here. We got the Vikings, Jets, in this one. I'm not chasing Latavius Murray points at all. That was a product of the Arizona Cardinals matchup. The Jets are better against the run. They're on the road this week. So I'm more looking at, again, Adam Thielen, Stephon Diggs, Kirk Cousins, the same old, same old. The Jets have actually allowed the least fantasy points to tight end, so Kyle Rudolph can't feel good about firing him up. If you have an alternative there, go in that direction this week. Vikings defense, you got to like them on the road even. So with Sam Darnold, rookie quarterback, they can make mistakes, a very good defense, stop the run, force some turnovers there. So that's a very good play of this week. The Jets defense has some potential, too, for some sacks and maybe a Kirk Cousins mistake, but not as thrilled about them this week because they really can't cover Diggs or Thielen inside, outside, wherever they're lining up. So with the Jets, if you're going to reach for a play, maybe you go with Jermaine Kearse, who's now kind of the slot guy with Quincy Nunwa down for a while. So I think that's about it. Anything else, I'm just going to fade really hard on the Jets. Pretty simple in this one to break it down. Our next game that we'll look at is the Texans and Jaguars. Not too much going on with this particular game. It's going to be a battle of defenses. So the defenses are the two best plays here, the Texans and Jaguars, with the way Blake Bortles and Deshaun Watson are trending downward. So when you look at this, if you're going to look at any one of the Texans, might take a stab at Lamar Miller, but not thrilled about it at all. I mean, you're forced to play him. I think DeAndre Hopkins is your regular play here, but I'm not stretching for Will Fuller or Kiki Kuti against the Jaguars secondary. I know the Jaguars have been vulnerable in the slot of late, but it's really hard to trust the Texans on the road the way their offense is going at this particular moment outside of Hopkins. So Miller, again, if you need him in the bye week, totally understandable. He's still getting the volume there. And the Jaguars have been a little bit leaky against the run, so that's acceptable. With the Jaguars side of things, you're hoping, if you're a TJ Yeldon owner that doesn't have Leonard Fournette, that you could get one more week. If you are a Fournette owner that has Yeldon, you're fine either way. But I think you almost would prefer them to sit Fournette for another week here. They got the Eagles next week in London and then the bye, and then you'll have a fully healthy Fournette and not this guessing, is he going to come out of the game and play well, or is it not going to be lasting here? But you got to get some good indication that Fournette is practicing full. I don't know if I would feel great about him if he's limited and they're trying to force him into the lineup here. So that's something we're going to have to monitor all week here. As far as the receiving corps, can't go anywhere with this Jaguars team with Blake Bortles there. So pretty easy. Avoid everyone pretty much except for DeAndre Hopkins and the Jaguars running back of choice here in this particular game. The next game that we'll talk about there is the Cowboys and Redskins. And with this one, it's a game where I wouldn't necessarily chase last week, but Ezekiel Elliott, Dak Prescott, if you need Dak Prescott in deeper league, I like him. He usually plays well against the Redskins, has never lost to the Redskins. Ezekiel Elliott usually has his way with the Redskins as well, so you feel good about those guys. I'm not going to stretch to Cole Beasley. This Redskins secondary is actually better than you think when motivated. Josh Norman was definitely motivated last week. He should be against the Cowboys this week in a rivalry game. So I would fade again the Cowboys receivers hard, as you usually do. But if you need Prescott to distribute and to make some plays, then he can do it, especially with his legs in this one. With the Redskins side of things, not feeling anything here, really, to be honest. Just the secondary of the Cowboys is good. Their run defense has been pretty good, even without Sean Lee. It's worked out well with Leighton Vander Esch being a very good player for them to fill in right away, the rookie first-round pick. So not feeling anything on the Redskins. The Cowboys defense, if you need to go there potentially this week, you can. Just keep in mind that the Redskins are pretty conservative. They don't turn over the ball much with Alex Smith, and they have a pretty good offensive line as well. So those are things that shy me away from the Cowboys in this particular matchup. Our next game, as we flip into the primetime marquee game, this is the flexed game there. It was a 1 p.m. game before, which is not good for Andy Dalton. Now it's a primetime game at the Chiefs. Well, Andy Dalton still is going to come through in the matchup. Reality-wise, it could be turnover fest and all that kind of stuff with the pressure and the crowd and being on the road and all that. So I'm looking at this matchup there with the Chiefs where, yeah, I think it's going to be good for Joe Mixon. And typically when Joe Mixon's in the lineup, they're really run-heavy. Don't trust Andy Dalton that much. So Andy Dalton's a bit of maybe a DFS trap. I think in year-long for sure, he's a play here with Russell Wilson and Ben Roethlisberger and Aaron Rodgers out. Definitely you have to look at him if he's your backup behind one of those. He's still probably a top 12 quarterback this week. But just keep in mind it can be a little bit of a trap here in DFS. Like I wouldn't play him necessarily in cash or tournaments. I think there's a risk with him pretty high on the road in prime time. But overall distributing A.J. Green, Tyler Boyd both have excellent matchups in this one. So in theory, it should be good for Green, Boyd, and Mixon here and C.J. Uzomah. But again, there's just a bit of volatility with Dalton that I'm worried about with the multiple turnovers in this one. But that could be the Chiefs. Again, I think this is a very sneaky play this week because at home, they've been very good. They get after the passer and create turnovers. The crowd really helps them. And there's going to be a lot of pressure for the Bengals to put up points here. And I think the Chiefs can basically tee off and do a lot of that in the second half where they're playing the pass and looking for mistakes there from Dalton. So something to keep in mind. Very contrarian play, but very cheap. And can help you with a lot of good teams on the waiver wire if you're desperate. The Chiefs are not a bad defensive sneaky play here at all. When you look at the other parts of the Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes locked in, Kareem Hunt, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, these are all your regulars. But Sammy Watkins, he's been disappointing, but I'll say Watkins could get the job done here for sure. Because the Bengals secondary gives up a lot to number one and number two receivers. Vulnerable, not as much in the slot as you would think, but that actually might open things up for Watkins to deliver in this one as well. So I think it's an entire Chiefs beatdown in this one. And we'll see how many points the Bengals can score. But I think the Chiefs are going to be control wire to wire, jacked for this primetime game and this opportunity here. Over-under is pretty high at 59, but I think the Chiefs may end up with most of those points overall in this one. So I'm looking at it at maybe three touchdowns for the Bengals, where I'm looking at 5-6 for the Chiefs, and that's how I kind of see this game and how I picked it at sportingnews.com. Our final game, as we switch from Sunday night to Monday night, that we'll talk about here in week number 7 to close out our matchup-focused show, is the Giants and Falcons. And the Falcons are 6-point favorites, 54.5 over-under, so we're expecting some points. Now, Eli Manning, I'd really like to recommend Eli Manning, but we've seen him against the Eagles, didn't come through. We've seen him be terrible in matchups where we were hopeful that at least the volume is going to be there. And they've also been content about just giving the ball to Saquon Barkley a lot and not messing with Odell Beckham Jr. This is a game where they're going to need Odell Beckham Jr. The game flow is going to get out of hand early. The Falcons' secondary is bad. Their whole defense is bad up front. So it's not like Eli Manning is going to be pressuring it a lot. A mistake. So let's hope he can at least distribute the ball to Beckham and Shepard. That's all we're looking for Eli. We don't need to play him in fantasy. We just want him getting the ball there. So I think you could look at Manning for sure. It's a safe environment there. He's weirdly better on the road, I think, just away from those Giants boo birds maybe, and the whispers of wanting to bench him for even a guy like Kyle Lauletta. So maybe that helps, just that change of scenery, the extra day here, long week, mini bye. We'll see, but I really like Beckham and Shepard for that sense, and of course Barkley there. For the Falcons side of things, we'll have to see if Calvin Ridley and Mohamed Sanu can play through their injuries. That's going to be something to monitor all week, because we won't know until Monday. So it's hard to have any Falcons alternative. I don't think he would go to like Justin Hardy, but all this makes it good for Austin Hooper. I know the Giants on paper haven't given a lot to tight ends, but they haven't faced a lot of top tight ends. They're going to face another one here like Zach Ertz, who had a good game there. So Hooper could be a big, big factor this week, especially if those guys are banged up and not 100%, can't see the regular snaps there at wide receiver. Julio Jones, I think this is the time he gets in the end zone. I think you look at this, Janoris Jenkins, the other JJ on the other side, is really kind of struggling right now as the number one corner. We're not feared of Jack Rabbit, so to speak. I like Julio to do some schoolyard plays on him, and I think he's going to beat him for a touchdown. Same profile as Alshon Jeffrey, their physical receiver with good moves there to post up guys. So I think this is a chance for Julio to take a long touchdown to the house and finally end that very frustrating touchdown drought, probably for him as much as fantasy football owners. It's going to come, especially if they can't throw to Ridley and Sanu there in scoring position the way they want. So good news for that. With the Falcons running back, I really like, when you look at Tevin Coleman and Ito Smith, Ito Smith always has a chance for a touchdown. He's going to get involved. They're not going to push him away. The game flow could be favorable here for him. But Coleman, you look at the Giants, they really struggle with those type of runners, those sudden outside burst runners. They're pretty decent in the middle with Snacks, Harrison, Damon Harrison there. But you can run to the edge on the Giants a little bit better. So I think that's going to really help Coleman here in this game. One of his better games. I think people are down on Coleman. The trend has all been to Ito Smith with Devonta Freeman with the foot and groin injuries being placed on IR. But I think Coleman is the way I'd rather look at in this particular game. So there you have it. There's a look at all the matchups there of week 7. Thanks again to Jeff Ratcliffe for breaking down those 4 key games with us and giving us his special, very deep insights on those games with the Pro Football Focus data. We always appreciate that, and we'll have a lot more tomorrow. Tyler Lochner will give us the DFS pricing updates and the value plays there tomorrow, more specifically in relation to a lot of players that we've talked about today. So that's what we do. We prep you for the entire week to get over the previous week and get you winning in the next week. And we are so grateful that you listen to the show and take all our good insight here. We try to be no-nonsense as much as possible, give you a little bit of fun, but also get to the point here of telling where you should look at it, fantasy football in a particular week. So if you're a new listener, we're glad to have you aboard. If you're an old listener, hope that we're delivering here week after week for you. For Locked On Fantasy Football, for Wednesday's matchup focused for week 7, this has been Vinny Iyer. We'll see you next time.